Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. All right, it's 11 o'clock. We'll officially get started. Welcome to Metron on this. Hey, Zach, over there on the other side of the planet, whatever time zone that is. It is May 31st, 2020, and today is Pentecost Sunday. Sunday is 50 days after Passover, and of course, that's the birth date of the church. It doesn't come, just like Passover and Easter is not the same day every year. Pentecost Sunday is based, like I said, on 50 days after that. I do have some things to share today that I think is pertinent to Pentecost. When I started Church in the Now, it fell on May 26th that year. And, I started on, hey, Ebony, hey, Larry, I started on, Pentecost Sunday and, was really looking forward to being in the park today, but I felt like with everything that was going on in the city, it would have been safe, I'm sure. And we'd be far away from where any of the hot zones have been the last few hours, but I don't know. I just felt like it's probably better just to chill out today. And maybe we'll be back there next week. Yesterday, I went over to check the mail at, we have a mailbox over there by the theater. And I noticed, I meant to get a picture of it. I noticed on their marquee at Landmark Midtown, it said, "We'll be back." So that means they're not set up yet, which is fine. I don't know that I'm ready to go inside yesterday. That's no reflection on anybody else that's already doing that. I'm just saying that's my own personal choice. Thanks for the great responses for the two videos I've made the last couple of days. I understand that's, first of all, there's a lot of noise going on. Everybody's chiming in on it and made me reluctant to have my say about it, but thank you for the great response. Thank you for hearing my heart. And I actually was surprised that the things I said were so well received. Let me just go ahead and get into what I want to say today about Pentecost Sunday. In the second chapter of Acts, Acts initially was part of the book of Luke. Luke wrote Luke and Acts, and then in later centuries, those two books were divided. And in the Gospels, Jesus said one time, maybe more than once, he said, it is necessary, King James says expedient, it is necessary that I go away. Because he said, if I don't go, he referred to another part of God as he, at least in our translations. He basically said, what he was saying is, as long as God is in this incarnation as a 33-year-old man from Israel, you're going to see God limited to an ethnicity, to a nationality. So he said, it's necessary that I go away so that God as the Holy Spirit can come. And I was reading it this morning. When you read about the day of Pentecost, what we have is chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Remember, Jesus said, go to Jerusalem and tarry until the promise of the Holy Spirit. And they waited for 10 days. The ascension happened 40 days after the resurrection. And then 10 days later was the day of Pentecost. And it was an international feast, convention. People came from all over what they knew as the known world at that time, came together and convened in Jerusalem. So when you read down in chapter 2, it says that by the time the day of Pentecost came, the number of people who had waited for whatever was coming had winnowed down to 120 people in an upper room. I've been to what they believe is the upper room there in Jerusalem. And it specifically lists all the nationalities that were there in Jerusalem. Because after the people in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with other languages. A sound from heaven came, and those believers spilled out into the streets and started exhorting people, preaching to people. And people who were nearby heard this loud noise, so they all came toward it and began to hear what the writer calls the wonderful works of God. It says that not one person was saying, if you died tonight, where would you spend eternity? There wasn't any of that. It was just the wonderful works of God. It's how good and awesome God is. But what was interesting, they said, how is it that we hear them speaking in our own languages? And then it begins to list that there were people from the surrounding areas, Mesopotamia. It specifically mentions Arabs. It mentions people from Rome, so that includes Europe. It mentions Libya, parts of Africa. So pretty much there was, and even from the Far East, there was a pretty good representation of at least that hemisphere of the planet that had come together. And it was, there's a great revelation there about how God is not limited to the nation of Israel. Basically, when Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away, he was saying, in effect, you've got to start thinking globally. You've got to stop thinking about just this nationality. And for people that are, I mean, I love Israel, the nation of Israel. I've been there more than once. But a lot of what people think is New Testament theology about being Zionist and connected to Israel as a nation is not really supported in the New Testament. Jesus said it's necessary for this paradigm so that people can hear the wonderful works of God, not just in Hebrew or in the language that Jesus spoke, Aramaic, but that you can hear it in Italian and in Swahili and Japanese and all these other languages. And so I was trying to connect the dots with Pentecost because, you know, I was raised in the Pentecostal tradition. So for us, Pentecostalism was really just about getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I mean, that was, there were nine gifts of the Spirit, but the classical Pentecostals were pretty much fixated on just that one gift. And pretty much, without sounding dismissive of it, the theology was get saved or get born again and then get filled with the Spirit and speak with tongues and then you're done. I mean, you got it now. And that's, I'm not saying that's not part of the message, but it's really just a little facet of the diamond. Because the message of Pentecost was about diversity. It was about multiculturalism. It was about getting the context of God away from there's just there being a chosen people that were a nationality. And I actually think that has a lot of relevance to what's going on in our world right now, what's going on in our country right now. I'm assuming most of you that are on right now aware of what I posted the last couple of days. And God knows I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm not retired, but I'm retired from fighting. If you want to argue about anything, the scriptures, whatever, I'm like, fine, you win. Namaste, go with God. Sometimes if I post something and somebody puts a ridiculous comment on there, I'll just remove it. Not because it's a matter of censorship, but it's actually an act of mercy because sometimes people say the stupidest things to completely misunderstand what your post is about, or they'll post about a video that you did and you can tell they didn't even watch it. They're just, you know, looking for a fight. And I just take their comment off really to keep them from embarrassing themselves. I don't know a lot of things, but if you want to engage in a Bible argument, I've done that for a long time. I'm pretty good at it, and whatever you want to argue, whatever theological bent you want to argue, tell me which topic, and I know all the scriptures that support that particular idea. You know, I've been in the ministry 48 years, and preached a lot and ran a Bible school and blah, 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 written 16 books. And so I have a lot of information. So if it comes to arguing about the scriptures, I can go, man. I can wear somebody down. But it's not gratifying to me. I've learned, even after I came out and was dealing with conventional evangelical ideas about same-sex relationships, I wrote my book and kind of said my piece about it, but I learned that even if I proved something, even if I proved that Sodom and Gomorrah is not any more relevant to me than it is to you, or this is what Romans 1 is actually about, I would win the argument and still not win someone's heart. They would still say, well, okay, I can't disagree with that, but I still think it's wrong for two men to be together. So at a certain point, you just think, you know what, there's a reason why the scripture says, let him who is ignorant be ignorant still. So I'm definitely not looking for fights, but I do love to bring enlightenment. And if I can help somebody see something maybe in a way they haven't seen before, I really love doing that. So in the videos that I posted, I was just kind of responding to what was going on. And I'm not going to repeat all of that. You can scroll down the page and see. Hey Ed, it's 11:11. I just saw that. Kind of responding to the things that people were saying. And as most of you know, we live on Centennial Park. And I bought that place 17 years ago. I bought it as an investment, and I've lived there since 2011. But where we live is right on, like, if you were watching the news last night where they were doing gas, where they were tear gassing people and all that was going on, that's just, I mean, my window's at the bottom of that hill. So, I mean, I could have, with what was going on last night, I could have walked up on the roof and watched it. We decided not to stay last night. But we did go over there yesterday, and clearly been vandalized, and it was heartbreaking to see that. Somebody posted this morning on what I'd written about it being heartbreaking, and they were sort of exhorting me about it. And I thought, you must not know my other posts, because I was just saying that from talking about it being heartbreaking, just from the fact that it's my neighborhood. But when it comes to what's gone on, not just in Atlanta, but last night it went on all over the country. And, you know, people see it differently. I mean, Lord knows I've seen lots of white people posting about how looting is not the answer, and it's not. I'm not defending looting and rioting. It's just that when I look at it, my first response is, my God, people are frustrated. I'm not defending their actions, but I think people are hurting and they're acting out. And my response is compassion. That doesn't mean I don't think it should be shut down. I mean, I think both our governor and our mayor stepped up, especially the mayor. And I felt like the way they handled the curfew last night was probably the most intelligent and humane way to handle it. I was glad they just put the tear gas bombs out there and made people disperse instead of just starting the one-on-one arrest, because that's gonna go badly. So at least we got through the night last night. But I do hope that people will not just respond to this out of outrage that there's that this is going on. I hope it will get people's attention that something needs to change. Something needs to be paid attention to. And like I said in my video yesterday, I hate that the conversation now is about looting, because it sort of gets the emphasis off what the real issue is at hand. But you know, it is what it is. I only did those videos to kind of maybe help people understand a little bit. I was thinking, you know, I have two major influences in my thinking. One is obviously the Bible. The other is movies. So I usually think in Bible and in scenes from movies. I know the sun's coming through right here, but it'll move in just a minute. When I've seen how outraged white people are on Facebook about the looting and the rioting and the thug word is thrown around a lot. And I think, all right, if you're going to use the thug word, include the cop that just murdered a man in broad daylight. You know, that's my definition of thuggery. Not taking away from, again, not defending breaking windows, rioting, and hurting people. I'm not defending that. I'm saying try to understand what's going on. Something's trying to change in our world that needs to change, that should have changed a long time ago. Please get beyond your racial bias and try to hear with your spiritual ears. Just like Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away. It's necessary that we stop just thinking through our national paradigm and think like God thinks, how God sees everybody. And but I was thinking about, there's a scene from The Color Purple when Sophia, played by Oprah Winfrey, you know, she has her children out one day, and Miss Millie, who's played by Atlanta native Dana Ivey, she comes up and she goes, "Oh, your children are so clean." And she says something like, "Would you like to be my maid? Would you like to come work for me?" And Sophia goes, "Hell no." And she goes, "Excuse me? What did you say?" And of course, you know, the Sophia character was the character that pushed back and paid the price for it. And the way Spielberg shot it, you don't actually see Sophia hit Miss Millie's, I guess her husband was the mayor maybe, but a truck goes by and then you see that she's hit him. And all of a sudden, all these white people come, they just make a circle around her and they're all doing this and, you know, they're saying the N-word. And when I just see all these white people converging on her rage, it just reminded me of Facebook yesterday. I thought, wow, white people are really mad that black people are really hurting, you know? And look, I would love for it to go away too, but I just think we need to listen to what is happening right now. Pay attention to it and not let this just be another thing that happened. And then I think I have no issue with calling in the National Guard. I think it had to have been done. I'm not saying just let it run amok. I'm saying try to understand what's happening and that people are beyond frustrated, beyond hurt, beyond tired. And, you know, it just happens. That when there's extreme pain, there's extreme reaction to it. But when it comes to the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, there's a thing that happens. There's a little passage in there. I refer to it a lot because I talk about quantum physics and I sort of connect the dots with spirituality. And in quantum physics, they talk a lot about parallel realities. And on the day of Pentecost, after the 120 people go out and they preach in other people's languages, and then it says that, you know, Peter stands up and tells everybody to repent, and like they make 3,000 converts. But in his sermon, he says something very interesting. He says, King James says he upbraids them. He rebukes the people of Jerusalem for murdering Jesus. He says, "You murdered an innocent man." He rebukes them for it. And in the same breath, he says, "But it happened exactly as God had planned." That's just a fascinating concept to me, that He's rebuking them for what they did and also saying that they fulfilled the will of God. And there's a, I'm not saying that God wanted George Floyd to be murdered. Try to come up higher and hear me intelligently. Hear me as an adult, a spiritual adult. But even with the pandemic, and I have to say about 2020, yesterday I was thinking, man, I had a different vision for 2020 than this. I mean, 2020 for me, I mean, today we're not even to the half mark yet. And I've already dealt with just horrible stuff with dealing with my dad towards the end of his life. You know, people keep saying, you don't understand, this is the sweetest time you'll ever have with him. And I think, I don't think I have enough distance yet to see it. It was horrible. I'm still traumatized by it. And then his passing, and then the pandemic, and then the racial unrest. It's like, my God, it's just May and all this has happened. But the part of me that wants to come up higher and see things from a better vantage point wants to look at that thing that Peter said on the day of Pentecost. He said it was the worst thing that ever happened, and it's the best thing that ever happened. He rebukes them for what they did. He says it was the will of God. Any of you that have ever been through a life-changing experience that nearly killed you, but it actually brought out something better in you, will understand what that means. I'm not saying God sent the pandemic. I'm not saying that God set up race wars. I'm saying that sometimes the worst thing that ever happens can end up being the best thing. Yesterday, I was looking at, I had to just get away at the rioting for a minute and watch the liftoff of the space capsule. And there's two different ways to look at it, you know? Well, maybe there's three different ways. When I saw them taking off from the planet, I thought, that looks good. You know, is there room on that capsule for me? Can I just get out of here? I mean, it made me understand why people have, even though I don't think it's scriptural, I understand rapture theology. It's like, let me just get out of here. The house is burning. I want to escape. And But then I was looking at it and I thought, boy, there's a way that you can look at that and think, man, that's irrelevant to what's happening right now. You know, with everything that's going on, with the money that's spent on that, you know, it just looked kind of, depending on one paradigm, it looked kind of pointless. Like, oh, okay. I mean, we got bigger fish to fry on Earth right now. Are we really going to focus on that? Or you can look at it as, well, here's a bright spot. Because good things have come from travels in space, and a lot of great inventions have happened because of NASA. And I'm not against it. I'm saying yesterday, it's depending on how you looked at it. It could look really irrelevant and trivial, or it could look like, well, maybe the world's going to be okay. Maybe it's not the end of life as we know it. Maybe there is a future. Maybe there's a hope for a future. And only you can decide which thing you're going to see. I mean, the thing about perspective is, you know, when they say, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Yes, it is both things simultaneously. It depends on how you see it. When the 12 spies were sent by Moses into Canaan, Joshua and Caleb, they saw the giants that the other 10 saw. They just choose to look at the promise of God instead. My point is, and by the way, that also made me think, it also made me think of another scene later in Color Purple, where after the Sophia character has spent however many years in prison, they finally let her out to become kind of like an indentured servant for Miss Millie, which is another kind of prison. And so they drive up to the store, and, you know, Sophia's eyes all messed up because years earlier the mayor had hit her in the face with the gun, and she hadn't seen her children in years. And Dana Ivey was such a great actor. She played it so well. How to show how Miss Millie was so completely unaware of what the Sophia character was going through. And there's a line in it, a lot of people miss this, but there's a line when they go into the store. Remember when they go into the store, if you've seen the movie, she sees Celie in there. That's why later when she refers to it, she said, when I seed you in the store that day with Miss Millie, I know day was a God. I know day was a... And, but there's a you know, she's limping and her eyes messed up and she's trying to get the groceries from Miss Millie. And you hear in the background, Miss Millie says to the grocery clerk, do you think there's life on Mars? And it's just such a poignant moment because here this white woman is surrounded by immense human suffering by somebody and she's talking about life on Mars. But again, that's one paradigm. You know, planetary exploration could help us see the world in a different perspective. It could bring it could bring peace. It could bring better understanding. It could bring civility. It just depends on how you look at it. This is what I want to leave you with the Day of Pentecost message as it relates to what we're going through in our world right now. Let's believe that the worst time could be the best time. Let's believe, and I'm not saying turn your eyes away from the suffering that's going on. Let me tell you something, and white people, don't get mad when I say this. If you get mad when I say this, you're exhibit A of what I'm talking about. But it's easy to say, oh, I don't want to look at that. I just want to be positive, and I want to see the big picture. That's really a luxury of white privilege to be able to say that, because some people they're not in a place to be able to see the big picture. You could say, well, I think everybody should just pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. Yeah, that's true if everybody got a boot. But if you don't have the boot, people are saying, pull yourself up. The playing field's not exactly even. With the pandemic, I've talked about this a few weeks ago here. You can say it's the worst thing that's ever happened. And this morning I heard it's in the United States, the death toll is up to 100, it's 300 more than 100,000. So we've passed 100,000 mark. And I'm not even against reopening things. I mean, I've sheltered in place, whatever, but I do think there's something to be said for, you know, we're just going to have to get back into life. And that's why I've kind of done a soft reopening of Metron in the park, because, you know, sheltering in place is important, but it's unrealistic to think that people can just isolate indefinitely. So at some point, you just are going to have to take the risk and say, I'm going to believe for the best and take the precautions hope that I'm going to be okay and concentrate more on my own personal immune system. But it can turn out to be a great thing. It could cause people to, I'm not saying God sent it, but it could cause people to rethink their lives and reexamine things and find out what they could live without. And I've already talked about that. But, the same thing with what's going on now. It's a tragedy, not just the murder of George Floyd, but there's been three high-profile murders of African-American people. And even with it's in the public eye just in the last less than 30 days. I don't want to see the country burn down, but I also don't want us to go back to business as usual. I want people who don't understand what's happening, and I can only understand it to a degree. I mean, my empathy can only go so far because I, you know, as a white male in the United States, there's a million benefits I take advantage of every day that I'm not even aware of. And so I can only be, but I try to be, and I try to at least say, oh my God, this is, you know, people have got to pay attention to this. And let me say this, you know, I'm all for sweet memes of showing black and white babies loving each other, and that's great. And, you know, I understand love is the answer and love wins, and I'm all about that. You know, kumbaya. I'm as new agey as you can get and still call yourself a Christian. But what's happening right now can't be just dismissed as we just all need to get along. No, this is deeper. Something deeper needs to change. Laws need to change. Indifference needs to change. Blindness. That's why I said yesterday, I was talking about sayings that I call poison apples, because they look good and they taste good, but they're really deadly. And one of those deadly poison apples is people who, I don't even see color. I don't care if you're black, green, pink, polka dotted. That's really such a stupid thing to say. Unless, like I said yesterday, unless you're talking about a bag of M&Ms, if you open M&Ms and there's red ones, blue ones, green ones, yellow ones, and you say, I don't even see color in my mouth, I don't make any difference, then yes, that's applicable to a bag of M&Ms. It is not applicable to people who have had different, not only have had different life experiences, but are having different life experiences now. And if you're already turning off and saying, if you're white and you're saying, oh, here you go, bleeding heart liberal, you know, I don't want to hear it. Everybody just needs to get a grip. Let me tell you something. If you think it's bad now, if you think what's happened the last few hours is bad now, if God forbid this happens again in the next few weeks, we're in some serious trouble. My appeal to white people is stop dismissing this. Stop pontificating about it. Stop. The point about the futility of looting is it's a moot point. Of course it's not the answer. Of course it's not what Dr. King promoted. But here we are a half a century after he was assassinated, and you know, these kind of things are happening even now, and not just once in a blue moon. I mean, they're happening fairly regularly. It's like every few days, another one, another one, another one. And you could say, well, that guy started it. Look, it doesn't matter what somebody did. You know, to be just gunned down in broad daylight, or somebody snuff your life out with a knee. I mean, try to think for a minute what that would feel like to have your face pressed to the pavement. I don't care if he resisted arrest or not. I don't care if he's the biggest counterfeiter who ever lived. Think about what that would feel like. They didn't do that to Jeffrey Dahmer. They didn't do it to John Wayne Gacy. They didn't do it to Bernie Madoff. They didn't do it to Charles Manson. Think about what that would feel like to have your face pressed down on concrete for that length of time with the full body weight of an adult man on your throat, on your neck. If you can look at that and just say, oh, well, it's just something that happened, and I'm not even sure the cop killed him, you need to get saved. You need to, you know, my theology is I believe Jesus saved the world, but if that's what you think, you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and change your way of thinking. On this day of Pentecost, filled with the Holy Spirit, because something's real wrong with your ability to look at that and just dismiss it and say, well, I just want to stay positive and let's just believe. Look, I'm grasping at straws here trying to find the positive side to it. I mean, it's a stretch for me to even try to connect the dots with the day of Pentecost and say, you know, the worst thing that ever happened could be the best thing that ever happened. What I was saying about the M&Ms a minute ago is, if I say I don't see color, that's code for I'm blind to your experience. In theory, it sounds good to say I don't see color, but it's really I see color. When I see someone African American, I just think, wow, your experiences are different from mine. And if it causes me to need to go the extra mile with you or understand or try to dialogue with you or try to at least see things from your vantage point. I don't know how to change the system, but I can at least be a voice. I can at least say something about it. I can at least not dismiss it. I can at least cry with you. You know, I've opened this can of worms now, so I might as well spill it out. I understand the Second Amendment. I get it. I don't think, you know, these politicians that say they're going to take your guns away, I think that's stupid. You're not going to be able to do that, and you're not going to get elected if you do that. But I also have seen people who have dismissed the Sandy Hook shooting and just said, oh, that's just, you know, the liberals have just beefed that up and made that more than it is. Really? You can think about kindergartners being shot and killed in a kindergarten class, and you're not gripped by that? I don't think your gun should be taken away, but something needs to happen in your heart. I can't even think about it without getting emotional. And I'm not abandoning everything that I've said about visualizing the world a better place. I believe in creating your day. I believe in all those things. But I don't believe that means you have to be blind to what's happening in the world. Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away. And on the day of Pentecost, there was a bigger paradigm. People saw God through the vantage point of people from other nationalities. When it comes to you personally, I pray that we all survive 2020. And if 2020 kills us, then let's believe we'll be resurrected on another level, that we're going to another glory. If you disagree with what I've said, I'm not going to engage with you. I'm not afraid of arguing with you, but I'm not going to engage. Just so you know, you can't draw me into an argument. I'm just not going to do it. But I do pray, you know, when Isaiah prophesied about the Holy Spirit, in the King James, he called it the seven spirits of God. It was the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might. Better translation is the seven aspect. It's the sevenfold aspect of the Holy Spirit's personality. But definitely one of the spirits he names is the spirit of understanding. I'm praying that you all, of course I'm mostly speaking to white people because I'm white. I mean, I can say some things because that's my people. But on this day of Pentecost, I'm praying that you have a spirit of understanding. Before you post something on Facebook that's just going to widen the gap even further, even wider, and galvanize people into tribalism even more, try to empathize with somebody else. Try to listen to them. Try to understand. Try to hear somebody's story. That's not all that the Holy Spirit's about, but that's a big part of Jesus saying, it's necessary that I go away. Okay, I'm gonna end it at that. I've talked long enough. As far as next week at Metron, I don't know. Maybe we'll be back at the park. I literally am just going from week to week. And the good thing about social media is you sort of stay up to date with that. The last 2 weeks that we've been there were great, and I loved it. So we may be back there again next week. And thank you to those of you that have continued to support. I get a paycheck on the 1st and the 15th. And yesterday, I guess Avery went in and put it in for tomorrow is the 1st. And she says, you've got money. And I was like, yay, somebody's still sending in support. So thank you for continuing to do that. I appreciate it. God will send ravens to feed me if I don't have a paycheck, but it's just nice to know that people still believe in what I'm doing. Paul said, if I've ministered spiritual things to you, you should minister natural things back. And that's why after I do this, I'll post all my links. because it's got my personal links. If you want to, many of you have given during the time of transition with my father, and I thank you for that. You know, that's to me personally, so you don't get tax credit for that. If you want to give to Metron, all those links are on that. It's easy to do. So thank you. And I don't say a lot about money. I'm dealing with a lot of people unemployed right now, so I don't want to add to your burden. But I do hope you still believe in it, and obviously some people still do. People, I had to send Avery two new boxes of a year in the now because somebody somewhere still buying them on Amazon.com. So, yay. That was good news. And I'm trying to be as optimistic about everything as I possibly can be. So if you're out and about in Atlanta or wherever you live, please be safe. Please take precautions. Don't trivialize the wearing of a mask to a political statement. It's just courtesy. I don't understand why people get upset. Like, if I go into a restaurant and it says, no shoes, no shirt, no service, I don't think about going to get a gun and shooting the guy, like, to defend my constitutional rights. I just think, oh, that's the policy here. I guess I'll put a shirt on. You know, there's some restaurants in town you men can't wear hats in. You have to take a hat off. That's just their policy. There's no point in going to kill somebody about it. So keep a mask with you. If it offends your sensibilities, then don't wear it when you don't have to. But if you're around other people, it's not about fear. It's about just being courteous enough to not inadvertently spread the virus that you might have been exposed to. And if it's just a symbol of courtesy, then that's good enough to say, let's try to be aware that 100,000 plus people in the United States have died in the last few weeks. That's not just something that somebody made up. That's actually happened. I'm not telling you not to go out. I go out every day, but I'm very careful. And I probably push it as is, but you know, that's a risk that I'm willing to take. But whatever you do, take care of your body, take care of your spirit, take care of your soul. If you're African American, don't give in to despair. As much as you can, try to find hope during this time. Try to believe that maybe things will get worse before they get better. And I'm not trying to be dismissive about it and say, la, 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 this is all going to be over soon. No, this is horrible what's happening. But I also don't want you to grieve yourself to death. So I want you to believe that somehow people are going to do better, that they're going to change, that systems are going to change. I mean, if we don't have hope, what do we have? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can't believe if you don't have hope. So keep hope alive. Thank you for continuing to support Metron. And I speak a blessing over you. I pray protection over you. I pray protection over your house. I say that no plague comes anywhere near your dwelling. That you're blessed when you come in, blessed when you go out, blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed in the basket, blessed in the store. I pray for angelic protection around you. That in this time, you know what to do and what not to do, what to say and what not. And I just want to tell you, I love you. And I hope even those of you that disagree with me will continue to love me too.